Hey, it's time for Kingdom Building. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody sing righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part?
WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad you're listening. Just want to shout out to a faithful listener, Denny Bird. Denny, how you doing? God bless you. Thank you for listening every week. He's a little bit out, so depending on whether he can get us or not. But I would say 90% of the time he can get us. So God bless you, brother. Anyway, okay, here we are again. How you guys doing? My name's Rich, here with Oscar and Mike. How you doing, guys?
Doing wonderful.
Yep.
Blessed, huh?
Yes, sir.
Blessed,
sir.
Abundantly.
Every day's a new one, man, for me.
Yep.
That's profound. Everyone's a new one.
I am deep, you know.
You're deep, man. You are deep. Okay, hey, Cincinnati. Kids are going back to school. That's not possible, guys. That's just not possible.
I think it's wrong.
Does time just go a lot faster when you get older?
Yes.
They say that's the case. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm still pretty young. I don't know about that.
Well, we'll let you know then.
You guys are both young compared to me.
Oh. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise God. He is worthy, isn't he?
Yes,
he is worthy.
He is worthy.
He's worthy of everything.
Well, guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the Word of God. And so if we talk about the Word of God, we got to first start with the Word, right?
That's right.
So there's three words in Word of God, and we got to start with the Word. So if you could turn in your Bibles to John 1:1. Mm-hmm. John 1:1. Everybody's heard this. You can do it by memory. In the beginning was the Word.
That's right.
And it's interesting in John 1:1 because Word is capitalized, which means it's a proper noun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a proper noun, it's got to be... In most cases, it's going to be a person's name.
Well, that's right.
You know, if it's... okay, so in the beginning was the Word. And I like it says was. So, you know, the Word goes all the way back to whatever the beginning is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I guess if you're with God, if you are God, you're with God.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting and what's exciting is you could say this about us. Whoa, boy, there's a controversial statement there, right? In the beginning, we were, right?
That's right.
And we were with God, right?
That's right.
And if Jesus says, Father, make them one as you and I are one, then God is in us, right? And we're in God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, everybody knows that studied the Bible, and if you don't study the Bible, the word that they're referring to here is Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. On every page of the Bible, it just talks about Jesus Christ. Well, how can it talk about Jesus Christ when it's talking about Moses and Noah and all these, Daniel and all that? Trust me. Jesus, everything points to Jesus.
Well, he permeates himself all through the whole
thing. All through. Okay. Now, if there's any question at all about in the beginning was the Word, if there's any questions at all about the Word being Jesus, again, it's capitalized, go down to John 1:14. Because in John 1:14, it says, and the Word, and again, that word, that word is capitalized. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, guess what? If something is made flesh, it's got flesh and skin and bones and all that, right?
Mm, that's right.
And that was Jesus, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there you go. Now, let's talk about that word, word. That word, word is logos. It's a Greek word called logos. And the Strong's Concordance says in John, it denotes the essential word of God, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. The personal wisdom and power in union with God. His minister in creation and government of the universe means he was there when God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Jesus was there saying it.
Mm-hmm.
The cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, which for the procurement of man's salvation put on human nature in the person of Jesus the Messiah. So if you had any questions or doubts about the word that's referred to in the first chapter of John, there you go. That tells everything. But then from there, it's interesting how you take the word of God, and Jesus himself said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Hmm.
So what's that word of God mean? Well, I think the Bible could be considered the word of God, but I think it goes on beyond the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think we can get a word from God anytime that we get in that quiet place, or sometimes we get a word from God in the noisiest of places. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And then in Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So guess what? We hear the word of God, and that word of God could come from anybody that's speaking the word of God. And it doesn't have to just be, some people believe it's just the Bible. That's it. God spoke it in the Bible. That settles it. And that's it, period. Well, folks, let me tell you, God is speaking now. God is speaking today. He was speaking yesterday, and he will be speaking tomorrow. So it's up to us to get in that place where we can hear the voice. He says those that know him know his voice. And guess what? His voice brings forth his word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, I've got some other scriptures, but what's the word of God mean to you?
Well, Rich, you were talking about, you know, him speaking, you know, through all different kinds of different things, you know, and I truly believe that, and I've heard God speak through all kinds of stuff, and you know, and it's not just Christians that can give you the Word of God. They may not even know it, but they could give you something that is directly right from the Lord, mm-hmm. that to encourage you or to you know, give you hope. And you know, for me, the Word of God, you know, you ask what does it mean to me, it means truth. It means that I have there goes Margaret. So somebody walking down the hall. It means that I've got something I can rely on that is not just my own understanding.
You said truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So again, it all comes back to Jesus.
Right.
Well, you know, Rich, in my studies of the Word of God over the years, I felt like the Lord gave me a working definition of the word logos. And this is the working definition I felt like he gave me. It's the thought, the intentions, and the purposes of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was the thoughts. He had the mind of God. He came to show God's intentions. And he came to perform his purposes, mm-hmm. in each one of our lives. And for me, that's what the way the Lord defined that for me is the thought, the intention, and the purposes of God. And then there's a different word that's used as the word, and it's the word rhema. I don't know if you were going to get into that or not. If you don't,
go.
And the word rhema literally is a spoken word that's spoken out. And it's also a word that is a creative word. You know, when you speak the Word of God, it begins to create. And you know, when we come to realize that, and that that scripture in John where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," back there in Genesis, when it says, you know, in the beginning was the Word back there also, it says, you know, basically. And, you know, the beginning back there is a word that means, also has the meaning of the first fruits. Mm-hmm. And the word for God back there is the word Elohim, and it's a plural word instead of a singular word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you come up into the Psalms, you'll find out, in Psalm, I believe it's 82, I think that's what it is, and he said, "I have said, ye are gods and sons of the Most High." He said, but basically, you die like men. And when we come to realize that in the beginning, we were with God. Mm-hmm. We were a part of Elohim.
He told Jeremiah he knew him before.
Before the foundation. Yeah, before he was in his mother's womb. Yeah, before he was in his mother's womb. Yeah,
he did. He's also said that he knew us before the foundation.
That's right.
The world.
That's right. And when we come to realize that literally when we were born, God breathed the breath of life into our mothers, so to speak, you know, and it came into us, you know, and we were born. And the only problem is that we walk below our birthright,
right.
most of the time,
right.
because we walk in the nature of Adam, which as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we have to come to realize that Jesus was what Scripture says, the last Adam. He was the one who came to bring man back into the relationship that God first intended for him to be in,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his image and his likeness, and to have dominion. And man walks way below that.
Yes.
He has dominion in the natural at times, but only partial dominion. But God desires for us to have full dominion because Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers, you know. And we're, whether we realize it, people realize it or not, he desires for you to be his brother. And that's why you need to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I know that's a little bit heavy, but if you really hear what the Spirit's saying to you, It's a wonderful thing when you come to realize what your true birthright in Christ is, you know, rather than what the birthright that you had in Adam. In Adam, you know, we all die. In Christ, we'll all be made alive, you know.
You know, you mentioned Raymond, you mentioned, and we've been talking about Logos. I mean, it's more than just this. I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but, you know, Logos is more so the written word, whereas Rhema is that word that brings life. It brings, you know, if you get a word from someone or you read something in the Bible that just explodes in your spirit, you know, which is God's spirit, but God makes it alive to you, that becomes a Rhema word.
Yeah.
And Rhema is, I'll take a couple words in, that are Rhema words. You know, Logos is great. I need Logos. I need it all the time. But the Rhema words will change your life.
Yeah. Well, see, if when you come to realize that Jesus, when it says back there in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And really what the Lord was showing me with that definition that he gave me was, in the beginning was my thoughts, my intentions, my purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, and I'm going to show you my thoughts, my intentions, and my purposes, and I'm going to show it to you in the form of my Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus, and it says, and the Word was made flesh, and that's the word for Logos there.
Mm-hmm.
The Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know, God's thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes was brought into literal existence through Jesus Christ. And, you know, as we have that relationship of Christ in us being the hope of glory, hit that anointing, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of us, then we begin to come to know the thoughts, the intentions, and the purposes of God. You know, that Logos also begins to dwell inside of us. And, you know, it's one of those situations to where what Jesus did when he would speak the word, you know, like when the one centurion came to him and told him, he said, you're a man of authority. And he said, I know all you have to do. He said, I'm a man of authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And he said, he was talking to Jesus about his servant. He said, speak the word only, and I know that he'll be taken care of or healed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. But that word that Jesus spoke there was the Rhema word. It was the word that set into motion the power and the authority of God. And you know, we have the ability to speak a Rhema word also as we're in tune with the Logos that's inside of us also, his thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes. And as long as we're Scripture tells us we have the mind of Christ, but a lot of times we don't function in it because we don't believe we got it. And if you don't believe you got it, you know what? You won't function in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that's, like, see, I'm not trying to get real heavy on you here today, but that's the way that the Lord showed that to me, you know, in times past.
Well, let me throw these couple scriptures out. I like this one that says, being born again, 1 Peter 1:23.
Right.
Let me go ahead and just read, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
Yeah.
And it goes on to say, it's quoting the Old Testament here, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as of a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, that word of God, if we're born of an incorruptible seed,
right.
it came about through the word of God.
And you know, there's a principle when you say born of an incorruptible seed. Each seed is after its own kind. Mm-hmm. A seed can only produce
what's
in the seed. And if you're born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, what can that produce in you? It can only produce one thing.
Incorruption.
God.
Yeah.
It can only produce God in
which
you.
Is incorruption. And,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's right. It can only produce that. And you know, it's just like, you know, when two couples come together, a couple come together, and they have a loving relationship, and they bring forth something, it's going to bring forth a man-child, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to bring forth. It's not going to bring forth a monkey or a dog. It's going to bring forth a man-child because that seed was planted, and it's going to bring forth what that seed had inside of it. And that's the thing about Christ in you being the hope of glory. That seed of the Word of God, it can bring forth nothing but God inside of you. If you know, and all you have to do is be cooperative with what the Word of God speaks to your heart, you know, for that seed to really come to fruition,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also, the Word of God, is it's likened unto water, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the washing of the water of the Word, Scripture says. There's a washing of the water of the Word. That's where the Word of God acts like a water. And, you know, Margaret just planted a bunch of plants in our backyard, and they'd been sitting in the pot for a while because she'd been working this flower bed over. And she planted this one, and it was looking really tired. And I told her, I said, boy, you better water that thing. You know? And it was looking really tired, and she watered that, and I'm telling you what, about an hour later, I looked out the window, and that sucker was just vibrant. It was starting to come right back because it received the water that was essential to its life, and the water of the Word inside of us is essential to us. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that will make us alive, you know.
Yep. You know, it also says in 1 John 2:5 is whosoever keeps his word mm-hmm. in him, verily is the love of God perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Man, the word of God is important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where our salvation comes from. That's where we're perfected. And it says, hereby know that we are in him. So much talk is, you know, about Christ in you, and that's a super wonderful thing. But, but you know, it's also the in order for the Word in Him to be perfected in us, then that means we have to be in Him.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just a one-way ticket here. It's both. It goes both ways. Christ in us and us in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people have a problem understanding. They receive the Christ in you because there's absolutely nothing they did other than accept Jesus.
Right.
And for what He did and whatever, and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But then, in order to have a relationship, if I'm going to have a relationship with Oscar and Mike,
mm-hmm.
they have to give, and I have to give. Or guess what? It's a one-way relationship. And you don't want a one-way relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
You want that back and forth. You want to be able to sit down and talk to Him like you would talk to your best friend
yeah.
or your spouse or whatever. Well, the only way that can happen is if He's in you and you are in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can have communion. Then you can have communication. Then you can be able to fellowship with Him. And that's what He desires more than anything else. I mean, more than, you know, all the performance-based things that you're told sometimes that you have to do in order to please the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything pleases him more than relationship.
Right, that's right.
You know, so, Mike, you ready to go? It's a little early. Go ahead. We'll take a break now.
Time flies here.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
You look at me and say, I'm ready to go. Where am I going? Okay.
You're going to the PSAs and promo.
Suicide is the 11th most frequent cause of death in the U.S. Someone dies from suicide every 16 minutes. Suicidal ideas and attempts to harm oneself are the result of problems that may seem like they cannot be fixed. We know what can fix them.
Yep.
Seek professional help. Call the toll-free National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. The lines are open 24/7. Experts say women make most health care choices in a home, including what to eat and which doctor to see. Groups such as National Women's Health Resource Center work to help women make more informed choices. The center publishes a free family health book organized by life stages ranging from birth to old age. It can help make it easier to keep up with the family's changing health care needs. For a free copy, call 1-800-986-94772 or visit www.healthy-women.org. And if you want to be blessed, we invite you to turn into God's praise with Mary Chenault every Tuesday morning from 8 to 11 with the best in gospel music and the prayer line as we pray for you. For the word of God is quick and powerful. The longer you listen, the more you'll be blessed.
That was my next scripture. My next scripture was Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful. Confirmation, right?
Amen.
Hey, for all those that were praying for my daughter last week, I left the program and went straight to the emergency room. She's doing better. Still don't know exactly what's wrong with her, but they did not keep her, so she was able to leave, and she is doing better, but we still need prayer to find out what's wrong. There's something wrong with her that, you know, God knows, so just we just pray that God informs the doctors so that they will now know. So praise the Lord, but thank you for all your prayers. I appreciate that. You're listening to Kingdom Building here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. So glad that you've tuned in today. Phone lines are always open, 749-1444 or 961-8900. Give us a call if you have a comment, if you have a prayer request, we'll pray with you. If you have a testimony of the awesomeness of God and what he's done for you, we'd love to hear from you. That's funny because Mike picked that one, and the next scripture I was going to give is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm going to stop there and just say this. In Ephesians 6:17, it says the sword of the Spirit. You know, the Bible just confirms its word constantly. I mean, whether it's the Old Testament, New Testament, or whatever. Here you got Hebrews talking about sharper than any two-edged sword, and then you got Ephesians 6:17 talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Anyway, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, Oscar, you always talk about, Well, go ahead. Just talking about it's necessarily dividing it, but it's more to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, one time I was doing some studying on that, and I felt like the Lord began to speak to my heart. And when he said the word of God is quick and powerful and any two-edged sword dividing asunder between joint and marrow and soul and spirit. And, you know, what I felt like the Lord dealt with me about was is that He does not divide to bring separation. What he divides is to bring identification. And the reason that he divides to bring identification is so that you can know what is soul and what is spirit. And you can bring the soul part of you and put it in subjection to the spirit. You know, the word for spirit is a masculine word. The word for soul is a feminine word. And, you know, if you go to the Greek in it, it's the word psuche. And that's even two girls' names, Sue and Kay. if you put it in the Greek. And you know what? I think that he wants us to submit our soul to his spirit and yield our soul to his spirit. And when we do that, then his headship overshadows us and begins to cover us and to protect us, just like a man would protect his wife, you know, in the natural. And when we come to realize that word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. You know, in their day, they didn't know what the marrow did. But you know what the marrow does in your body. It creates blood cells. And if you have leukemia or some kind of cancer, a lot of times they will try to give you shots of bone marrow shots. They'll inject bone marrow into you. Why? Because that will create something in you that will begin to create the right kind of blood cells, see? And even in that day back there, God was telling a tremendous truth when they wrote that scripture, because what does the bone in your body do? It houses the marrow. But it also is the structure upon which you stand. And when you move around and you do everything that you're doing, and your joints is what allows you to be able to move. But when you realize that the real essential part of that bone is not the outside, it's what's on the inside. Because what's on the inside is what creates life.
That's the same with us.
That's the same exact same thing. And God was telling some deep secrets back there.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know. But in our day and age, we know, and we can look at some of these things and understand exactly what God was saying as the Spirit reveals it to us. And that's the same way that he works with us as far as dividing soul and spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not to bring division, but it's to bring identification so that we realize that the real most important part is that the Spirit be in control. Because it's the thing that gives life, you know.
The soul gets you in trouble.
It will.
You know, that's the part that says, how dare that person say that to me? Whereas the spirit is perfect. There's a lot of mixture of what the spirit is. The Bible clearly says there is only one spirit.
That's right.
There is only one spirit.
It says so that.
If the spirit of God lives in you, which it does.
Yes.
Then guess what? The Spirit is perfect.
Right.
The Spirit doesn't need salvation.
No, it doesn't.
That's why they say, save your soul.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
The soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, all these things need
soul.
To come under the subjection of the Spirit.
Right.
And it's all there.
Yeah.
God's given it. You got everything you need to bring your soul into subjection to God's Spirit, which lives in you.
Well, see, Heaven, you know, you've seen where in the scriptures it says that David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but David also had enough sense to say, bless the Lord, O my soul,
and all that's within me,
because that was saying, hey, I'm bringing my soul. I'm going to put it in subjection to you, which is basically my spiritual husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to put it in subjection to you. I'm going to bless you with everything that's within me. And you know what happens there. And I'm going to tell you, there's even a natural thing to that. And ladies, I'm going to tell you a secret today. Okay? Out there, listen to this secret. It's a great secret. And if you'll listen, you'll see some changes. And you know what that secret is? In the natural, if you'll tell your husband, instead of nagging him to get him to do something, if you'll start telling him, honey, you're so big and strong, and I know you can do this, and you I know you're good. I know you can do this. You know what you're doing? You're blessing him, and you know what he'll do? He'll run through a brick wall for you. He'll do anything he can to please you because you're building him up. And that same principle happens when you, in the spirit. That's why you need to bless the Lord, oh, your soul. And I've seen people say in church, oh, that person was being so soulish. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if she was blessing the Lord or he was blessing the Lord, I don't care how soulish they get, as long as they're blessing the Lord, you know? But there's a difference between soul and spirit, and a lot of things that people think are very spiritual are really soulish. And a lot of things that people think are very soulish are really very spiritual. Because if you're blessing the Lord with that soul, then that's okay. But if you're not, and it's not in subjection to the Holy Spirit, then it's like what the scriptures say in Ephesians, I believe it's the 6th chapter, where it talks about the woman should be in subjection to her husband. It's not really talking so much in the natural as it's talking more. He said, I speak a mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. So he wants you to bring your soul and put it in subjection to him who is the husband of your soul, the Spirit of God. And, buddy, if you'll do that, he's going to bless you immeasurably. He's going to make sure that everything that you need spiritually is going to be there, you know.
Yeah, boy, that scripture has been totally blown out of proportion. Absolutely. Over the years. Yeah. I mean, you know, because the soul, everything in the Bible is types and shadows.
It is.
I mean, come on. And it all relates back to something else. You know, you can't read the book of Revelation and understand John's perspective.
Right.
I mean, he's trying to put into words what you can't put into words.
Right.
And in his perspective, he's got to go with what he knows.
Right.
And what he knows is, like, for instance, the tabernacle of Moses, or he knows
right.
the temple, the
right.
outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And so when you read the book of Revelation, there are so many references to the Old Testament.
Things in the natural.
Yeah. And even the seals could be the outer court, and the trumpets could be the holy place, and the vials could be the Feast of Tabernacles, could be the Holy of Holies. I mean, everything has the Bible's full of signs and signified things
right.
that determine. And to know the Word of God, and that's our topic today, is the Word of God. To know this Bible, which is the Word of God.
Right. It's the written Word of God.
It's the written Word of God. And
right.
to know that, some people, I had someone ask me last week, they said, do you really feel a need to read the Old Testament? And of course, I said, let me tell you something. The Old Testament will make the New Testament come alive even more so than just by studying the New Testament.
Well, I feel like the Old Testament is the Word of God concealed.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament is the Word of God revealed. But you can, once you turn to the Lord and you really understand, and He opens your eyes of your understanding, the Old Testament is all about Him and His relationship to you. And when you really see it for what it is, you know, I mean, most of the scriptures that they quote in the New Testament were from the Old Testament. You know what I mean? It's not like it was a completely different scripture. But you know, when you come to realize that all of the Word of God, it's a love letter. And, you know, my wife and I, we've went together since we were 14. And we used to write each other little love letters when we were in school, you know, and we'd pass them sometimes once in a while in the hall. Wasn't that sweet? But we'd do that. But you know what? We could talk a love language that if you picked that thing up, you wouldn't know what we were saying. But we knew what we were
sure.
saying.
Yeah.
And it's the same like with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, you got little pet names that you call each other and different things. And you know what? That's because you love each other and you understand the language. The Bible's the same way. When you say, Lord, I'm gonna make you the lover of my soul, and I want you to lead me and guide me and teach me your word, he'll start unfolding his word to you, and it'll become such a love letter that you'll get so excited when you read it, and as he reveals it to you, you're going to say, wow, this is wonderful what you're doing, Lord. And this is all about me and you and our relationship. And, man, that's what the Word of God's all about, you know.
It is. Absolutely. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati, Ohio. I was sitting there, I guess, watching something, I don't know, and they said that Ohio State University is trying to get a copyright on the Ohio State. It's like, who cares? I mean, really, it's like to put the D in front of it, whatever. Yeah. I guess they're looking for things to do, and they're bored, yeah. I guess. I don't know. But
you
anyway.
Got more money to spend in Ohio.
I don't know. Everybody have to get rid of their sweatshirts and their shirts and hats and whatever to get the new one that says The Ohio State University. But anyway, you know, the things of the world, you know, the worldly things. But what's so awesome about the Word of God is that he says that the Bible says he is, which is a present tense word, mm-hmm. he is. In other words, he's current today, folks.
Right.
You know, it's not all about what he did in the past. It's whatever he did in the past affects your present.
Right.
And affects from this point forward. But, you know, it's the Bible says he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So you know what? If you want to be rewarded from God, diligently seek him. It's a pretty simple concept that he says, ask, seek, and knock. And if you ask, seek, and knock, like we've said here many times, the first letter of ask, seek, and knock, you got to start with asking. A-S-K. So ask, seek, and knock. But if you're diligently seeking him, let me tell you something. He will open up the windows of heaven, and he'll rain down a blessing that you can't even handle. And, you know, we've all experienced it where we sit there and some truth hits us while we're seeking him through the word or through prayer or through praise or whatever, and we'll go, wow. I mean, that's all we can say.
That's right.
That's the only word we can say is, right. Wow. And then we say, God, you are awesome.
Right.
You are awesome in every way. And little old me, you're revealing secrets and truths and promises and all these things to little old me,
right.
Who is a nobody. I'm somebody in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but I'm nobody to anybody else because, you know, the world looks at you know, your bank account. The world looks at your what you've accomplished here on the earth. The world looks at sports heroes and, you know, people in the movies and singers and whatever. Hey, you know what? All that stuff's going away.
Yeah.
The only thing that remains is him.
That's right.
And so we need to realize that and realize that, you know, all the time we spend watching TV, and this is no condemnation here. That's not what I'm trying to do. But, you know, I'm guilty as charged. All the times we spend watching TV and doing this and going to sporting events and going to whatever, movies. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that, because, you know, that's just the world we live in. But, man, make time for the Lord every day. Every day, even if it's just sitting there talking to him in the car or whatever. But make time for the Lord and diligently seek him.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, it's what? 12:45, Mike?
You know, the amazing thing, Rich, and I'm sitting here just thinking, after you said, you know, ask, seek, and knock, is even when I didn't know him, he was still seeking me.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says he first loved you before you loved him.
When I look back on...
Thank God for that.
When I look back on my life and I before I knew him, and I look at some of the things that occurred in my life and how he brought me through them, it just amazes me. It stuns me.
Well, you know, the Word also says that no man, Jesus said this, no man can come unto the Father, unto me, except the Father draw him. And the Father's the one that draws you. You know,
that's right.
He wooed you, whether you was realizing it or not. You didn't really go after him. He came after
that's
you.
Right. You're right.
And when he came after you, he began to woo you through situations, circumstances, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you begin to say, well, yeah, Lord, I'm really going to seek you. Well, he says, well, it's about time. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
Until he draws you, you don't even realize you need a Savior.
No, you don't.
You think, well, I'm okay. I'm kind of handling this thing called life.
Mm-hmm.
But then once he starts drawing you, you go, oh, man, I've made a mess of it.
A mess.
I've made a total mess of it.
I was a mess, and I kept messing it up, making it worse.
And then, you know, even after him coming into my life, I still make a mess of things from time to time, you know. But I always know that I have an advocate.
Yeah.
I always know I have someone that sticks closer than a brother. Mm-hmm. I always know that he will never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
I always know these things, so it gives me comfort to say, okay, you know, you messed up. Dust yourself off, repent, and move on down the road. Don't think about it anymore. You know, just keep moving down the road, and you know, Jesus will show you the way.
I always kid, and Margaret gets mad at me when I say this. I always say she chased after me until I caught her.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the way the Lord is.
That's the way it was with Julie.
Yeah.
She sent me an email saying, you and I need to go out tonight.
Yeah.
I said, no, we don't. And then it wasn't long before that, it was like,
she knew better.
Yes, we do, you know. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. And at that point, it'll be 10 years. Yeah, we dated. Well, we knew each other as friends for a year, you know. So just as friends, we worked together. We didn't even go to lunch. But guess what? We knew once we started seeing each other, we knew it was right. And we dated for what, about 2 months, not even that, and I proposed to her, and we were married the very next month.
Yeah.
Because we knew God.
You didn't let any dust get under your feet, did you?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that both of us knew that we knew that we knew that God had put us together.
Yeah.
You know, and
you know,
we sat there and we just wanted to spend time with each other, but it was more than just wanting to spend time with each other. We just knew that there was a spiritual connection that God had made there.
Right.
That's right. Me too. I can say the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, that's really the neat thing is that a lot of times we think we're so in control of everything that's happening in our life, and we're really not.
Uh-oh.
And a lot of times God sends that right person along at the right time.
That's right.
You know, just think about even what the scripture says. You know, when Jesus was out moving around and he was collecting up his disciples, because he knew who his disciples were when he and what did was I think it was Thomas, wasn't it? Or was it Thomas that he said, or well, maybe it was Nathaniel, I saw you when
Nathaniel.
You were under the fig tree.
That was Nathaniel.
And right away he was saying, oh, my Lord, my God. You know, he was right ready to go. Now, what was he doing under the fig tree? I don't know.
Well,
but you know, Jesus knew.
The fig tree is a type of natural Israel.
Yeah. But I mean, but even with in the natural, you know.
I saw you over there.
I see what you was doing. I knew what you was doing.
What he was doing is pulling him out of natural Israel and putting him into spiritual Israel.
That's right. But you know, that's the neat thing about the Lord. You don't sneak up on God. He knows. I remember one time my son was out playing on the porch and he was kind of little, And he was out there with one of his friends, and our porch used to be pretty high off the ground in this house I lived in. And I was standing in the living room, and I said to him, I said, you guys need to be careful out there because you can fall off that porch, because I knew my rail was not real strong. It was just one of them cheap metal rails, you know, and they were kind of fiddling around out there. And I could see him, but he couldn't see me because we had sheer curtains. And outside, when he looked in the window, he could just see a reflection of himself. But he looked up at me and started making faces. And at first, I laughed. You know, I mean, I thought it was funny at first. But then I felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to correct him. And I went out there and I corrected him. And I told him, I said, son, I said, I can't let you be disrespectful to me. I said, I saw what you did. And the Lord was showing me. He said, now I want you to realize that I see everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Even you, when you think I'm not watching you, mm-hmm. I am. I see everything that you do. And when you're disrespectful to me in any way, I'm going to send correction into your life, you know. And so many times, God would show me things graphically, and then he would show it to me in his word, you know. And boy, I tell you what, when you get the things of the natural, scripture says, declare the things of the spirit. So that's why a lot of times God will use natural things. And even like you were saying in the Old Testament, you know, all those types and shadows, they're natural things, mm-hmm. a lot of them. But there's spiritual principles tied to every one of those things. And if God shows you that spiritual principle, then it becomes more alive because you see a natural thing, but then you begin to apply it to a spiritual thing, mm-hmm. and it becomes just much more powerful that way. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, the Lord was showing me that through that little boy out there jumping mm-hmm. around, and I was afraid he was going to fall off that porch because they would have got hurt really bad if he had him, because it was pretty high up in the air. Him and his little friend was wrestling around doing stuff out there, and when I told him, I said, hey, you guys need to be careful out there. They had a ball, and they were flipping it around and stuff. And he looked up at me, and buddy, he was making funny faces, mm-hmm. like, and he couldn't see me, but I could see him, and God was just showing me, son, that's exactly the way it is with you all the time. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're doing. You know, I know exactly where you are.
But isn't that the way the Lord can convict you?
Yeah.
I can just see him saying to you, what did I do? What did I do? You know.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times you know exactly what you did.
That's yeah, right. You know what That's I mean? What I'm saying.
Sometimes with kids, it's like, yeah. if you hadn't said, I could see you.
Yeah.
He just said, I didn't do anything. And that's the way we are. Lord,
I didn't do it.
You know, I mean, it was just a little white lie, Lord. I mean, you know, it wasn't some big lie. But it was still a lie.
God knows. He knows how to deal with us.
He does. Praise the Lord. So, Father, 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 Lord, we just come to you right now, and we ask you, Lord, to touch each and every person out there, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just touch them with these truths, Lord. Just touch each and every one that needs a healing, Lord.
Yes.
All those that are just bound up by stuff, Lord, we just pray that the anointing would just break through all of it and just set them free, Lord. Set them free. And, Father, we just thank you that you have all the answers. Yes. You do. Not us. You do. You have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, we just submit to you, because submitting to you is the smartest thing we can ever do. We've tried it on our own. Guess what? It doesn't work. We're going to submit to you. We're going to surrender it all to you, Lord. Surrender it all. So, Father, just each and every person listening to our voice here today, we just pray that you open up the windows of heaven and rain down a blessing upon them right now in Jesus' name. Some have financial needs. Some have aches and pains in their body. Some have fractured relationships that need mending.
Yes.
Father, just Lord, just someone has to be the minister of reconciliation in those relationships. So, Lord, just come upon those that are listening to be the reconcilers, Lord, and to, you know, stand up and go ahead and try to reconcile. And those that have tried to reconcile and the reconciliation didn't happen, Lord, we just pray that that you continue to touch the hearts of those that they're trying to reconcile with, Lord. But anyway, Father, we just thank you that we can come upon the airwaves. We live in a land of the free that can speak the name of Jesus and not worry about the consequences. And so, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Praise God. You know, Rich, I'd like to say that prayer that you just prayed, if God answers that prayer for you, then you come back and call us back next week and you testify as to what God done.
Hallelujah.
Because a lot of times if you don't do that, then, you know, God will begin to cut off some of the blessings that he was going to give you or some of the things that he was going to give you. You know, Sunday in church, we had a brother that doesn't come to church all the time. You know, he lives far away, and he was there, and he shared a testimony, and he said that his little girl had psoriasis real bad, you know, and he said he had asked prayer for her, and the last time he had been in church, he had asked prayer for her, and he said, I just want to testify that it's gone. God healed her.
Praise the Lord.
And you know what? Because he did that, God will continue to do mighty things.
Amen.
But it's like when there was 10 people that Jesus dealt with, only one came back gave a testimony. Be that one that comes back and gives the testimony. Because I believe that prayer that you just prayed, God's going to answer that for a lot of people out there.
Praise the Lord.
If you need a physical touch, he's going to answer it. If you need a financial touch, he's going to answer it. But do the right thing and call back next week and give a testimony as to what God actually did for you. Amen.
Yeah, it's so important, Oscar, that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one, 10%? 10% came back and thanked him.
Yeah.
Now, you know that they were grateful.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you need to testify.
That's right.
Sometimes you need to say it out loud.
Right.
And I agree with 100% what you just said. So hopefully we have some testimonies next week of what the Lord has done.
We're going to expect some.
We're going to expect some.
Yes, we are.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, man, this hour went by fast. Yeah. Don't touch the dial because Tara Robinson with The Ultimate Risk is coming up next. And we will be back next Wednesday at 12 noon. God bless you, Cincinnati. We thank you for tuning in, and we just pray blessings upon you and your family and all the things you put your hands to, that we pray that the Lord would just bless it, and that, Father, that we just give you these folks, and next week we're going to hear some testimonies.
Amen.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the